If you listened to the previous episode of Idiot School Running, myself and Andrew hinted that a big name or a special guest was coming on the show. Unfortunately, that had to be rescheduled. So today on Idiot School Running, we have Ben. Say hello, Ben.
Hello.
On our show, we've got a guest who likes to run.
Do they really?
Do they jog around the place just for fun?
That's not fun.
Are they a special, a professional athlete?
Nope.
Lining at the start with the elite. It don't matter. We've got a guest on our show. Woo-hoo! Because we asked and they didn't say no.
It don't matter.
Because our show has a guest.
It does.
Pretty much because we asked and they said yes. So, Ben, how are you?
All right, yeah. I'm currently enjoying garden leave, which is lots of time for whatever I want to do, which is mostly nothing at the minute. It's running and sleeping.
Yeah, because I was watching your Instagram and there's a lot of running. You have a treadmill. Is that your garage that you run in? So you have this space that just looks like a man cave or a pain cave or some sort of cave that just looks painful. Is that your kind of running space? Yeah.
Yeah, it's actually, I think it's an old pigsty. We moved to North Wales 18 months ago and we've bought like an old pig farm that the old guy that had it before us had converted the pig farm into like his kayaking and Land Rover sort of den. And then we saw the outdoor spaces and I was like, I can build a gym in there. We can put the bikes in there. I can put the car in there. And so, yeah, we bought what I described it as is we bought some really good outbuildings with a bit of a rubbish house attached.
So you literally, sorry, this is a great start to the show. Ben, just so you know, everybody who's listened to the show, I literally seen Ben's Instagram, thought he was interested, contacted him and he says, yeah, I'll come on a podcast. You literally train in a pigsty is what you're saying to me.
Yeah.
Absolutely love it. Give us a bit of background about yourself, Ben. Like, how did you start running? I heard you do cycling as well, so you can tell us about it. Give us a bit of background about yourself.
It sort of started with a bit of a mental health disaster. I was depressed. Suicidal at the time, actually, in and out of hospital with that and therapists. And everyone says exercise helps, doesn't it? So I signed up to a Tough Mudder thinking that's the toughest thing I can think of doing. It'll give me an excuse to get outside, running, exercising, something to focus on. That was 2012. And I ran that Tough Mudder and then booked another one the next year. And then that turned into the 8-hour overnight Tough Mudder. And then that became a 12-hour overnight Tough Mudder. And I was like, oh, ultra marathon seemed like a good way to train for that kind of thing. So then I started running ultra marathons and that turned into the 24-hour Tough Mudder in America. I've done that a couple of times. And yeah, and I don't know. And then sort of 2018 was when I started to take it seriously, I ran Chester Marathon and absolutely fell apart. And after that, I was like, I need to sort this out. I want to be able to do these things. And I think I was in tears at the end of Chester Marathon. I was in so much pain finishing. I just sort of collapsed onto the missus crying and being like, never again. And the next day was like, you know, I said never again. Well, I'm going to sign up to a PT and get some proper coaching and we're going to do it again.
Wow.
I was in Driffield at the time over in Yorkshire and joined the local gym, got a PT, just started doing some like lifting in the gym, hit like CrossFit style HIIT workout and then running around that sort of gym time and trying to fix my ankles, fix my hips. And then I think it was only a few months after that, I signed up to my first ultra and ran my first ultra. And it was along the sort of Northeast Yorkshire coast. And I was thinking, yeah, I've seen the coast there. It's quite flat. And I don't know, listeners have probably been there, but there's a place called Robin Hood's Bay in Yorkshire. Near Whitby, and it's like this to get out of it. And they had us run down the cliff along the beach and then up this thing. And I was just like hobbling up. I'd never known a hill like it. And then people were just running past. And I was like, this is nuts.
And that was the ultra?
Yeah, that was my first ultra.
What point was the hill in the ultra?
About halfway, I'd say. Yeah.
And how long was the ultra? How far was that one?
34 miles, I think.
That's an incredible story, how you got into running. And we were chatting beforehand and you were mentioning about how you also had an injury. Do you want to mention about that? Or
that was way before the running. So I came into it carrying an injury, really. You know, it's a 17, 18, you're in the local pub, you know, having a few drinks, someone gets a football out. So we're on the like green outside the front of the pub, pint in hand, several deep, and kicking this football around. And I was like, I'm going to Peter Kay style send this, I'm going to hoof it at my brother. And I took a big old swing at this football and kicked the concrete post next to it instead.
And that's where it all started. That's, did your knee just went, in the bits, or?
Yeah, they don't seem to appreciate kicking concrete posts. So I tore my ACL, tore the meniscus cartilage. That bit of cartilage stayed loose in my knee for a long time. After that, it used to pop out every now and again and lock the joint in a sort of bent position. No pain, but it wouldn't move. And so I'd just be like hobbling around with one bent leg until there was like a popping sensation and it popped back in, and then I could bend the knee again. And
so that's where the PT came in to say, how can I get this right? How can I strengthen muscles around it? And how can I reduce the pain? Because I'm sure you find pain running anyway, do you?
Yeah. Well, who doesn't? Like,
yeah.
I'm sure the elite, I mean, you've seen Kipchoge after setting that marathon record, he was hobbling. Like, everyone runs. It never gets easier, does it? You just as hard a bit faster.
I don't know if I'm getting faster. I think it's just my runs bands seem to get longer and longer and longer. And Andrew started off just doing half marathons, and then he spent most of last year injured preparing for an ultra run. So he understands exactly what you're saying. But the thing me and Andrew are very, very bad at is our personal training. I'll be honest, I don't do a lot of strength training. Do you find that helps you?
Yeah, so they didn't operate on the knee at the time. They wanted it to heal naturally. So the physios I've seen over the years have all said, if you strengthen your legs, that's going to help hold your knee together, because the ACL, it's attached, but it's not doing very much these days. So they were like, if you just keep strong. So yeah, and then, I mean, I don't know, I quite like being strong in the gym anyway. I'm not the fastest runner, but I'm outlifting everyone in front of me.
So you're literally the one, it always goes back to this, you're literally the one carrying the logs.
Yeah.
What's your next, what's your next challenges? What are you looking forward to next?
I've rather foolishly signed up to a 100-mile run this year. So June, I'm running 100 miles at the Pegasus Running Epona race over the mountains of South Wales. I think there's 24 peaks it takes in, 18,000 feet a climb, 100 miles.
Wow.
So that's the big one. Yeah.
In June?
22nd, I think, of June.
I don't know if you follow us or if you've seen what we're doing, but we are doing 108 mile. It's actually, it was 106 last year and they added on an extra 2 mile. I don't know why, but they did. But what's another couple of mile? But we're doing that at the start of June. So the 1st of June, we are doing 108 mile and it starts at the top of Northern Ireland and it comes down and finishes in Uma. And we are looking forward to that, and I'll drop you a wee text and let you know how we got on with minimal strength training. Do you set yourself times, or what's your thought process going into the run? Are you looking for the fun, or is it, what's your reasoning for doing it?
I mean, everyone has a kind of time in the head, don't they? Like, I try to stay away from set myself times. I know I'm not the quickest, so I try and sort of, I think that's why I quite like lapped events, like Tough Mudder type style, is the time doesn't matter as much. It's you accumulating as much distance as you can handle. But I've always just gone into them with a sort of, it's me versus the distance. And a problem there is that once I've done a distance, I'm like, oh, all right, I'll go a bit longer. What's a longer race? And hence the 100 miler this year.
Trying to push the challenge further and further and further. And I would say, personally, I think that if you're doing loops, I would actually struggle more with loops than an A to B race, because I think mentally loops must just drive you insane.
Do you know what the beauty of a loop is, though? You can have a pit area with great snacks, and you just, every lap, you get to go back into your picnic and cold slice of pizza, a couple of pickles, handful of Haribo, and then head back out. And it's brilliant. You just, every lap, you're back into like the feast.
Do you know what? So you really set up your own. So everybody calls them aid stations. My brother calls them food markets. So
yes.
he gets so excited about these big races, going, oh, I can't wait to see what they're giving us. And our 40 mile race we did, all I had was fruitcake, and he stuffed his face with fruitcake. And I was promising him soup and sausage rolls and all this other cool stuff, and he turns up and all that is fruitcake and a big tank of water.
It's so hit and miss, isn't it, with the race organisers. I've done one. It was Brecon to Cardiff, and one of the aid stations, I got there and I was like, what have you got? And he went, I've got some crisps and some water. And I was like, this is the worst aid station I've ever heard of. Like, who wants crisps? Like, I'm 35 miles deep here. I don't want ready salted crisps. Where's your Haribo? Where's the cake? Like, a sausage roll would go down really well right now.
Yeah. Like, see if you had one of them. See if you, I know you usually ultra runs go into trails, but see if you had one of them there, you know, heated sausage roll trays that just have all your wee sausage rolls sitting nicely. Now, I would go for plant-based sausage rolls, which Greg's do a really nice plant-based sausage roll.
They do, yeah.
Ketchup, brown sauce. If I ever came across an aid station like that, book me in for that run again and again and again. And our run, Ben, we've been promised soup. I contacted the race organisers and I asked them, I said, tell me you do soup. And they said, why on earth are you asking us? Do we give you soup? You know, why? And I'm going, because I've promised Andrew soup on an ultra run. And he said, yes, we will do soup. So we are really looking forward to the food markets. Cos have dropped his name in here. Andrew, as I said, couldn't be here today, and I'm going to throw you in with a question from Andrew.
Andrew asks a question.
What will it be?
Andrew asks a question.
Just wait and see.
Andrew asks a question.
A mystery key, unlocking the answers with some curiosity.
Ben, sorry I can't be in the studio with you guys today, but I do have a question, and the question is this. Myself and my wife introduced the kids recently to Cool Runnings. You know the film Cool Runnings, or I hope you know the film Cool Runnings. It's about four Jamaican bobslayers. Well, really, it's four Jamaican runners. Well, really, it's three Jamaican runners and a pushcart champion in the island of Jamaica. And they decide they want to become the first ever Jamaican bobsleigh team. And it's a great film, and they do eventually become bobslayers. And that made me think, now me and Colin haven't talked about this, but say next year's challenge is for us to get to the 2026 Winter Olympics in Italy. And me and Colin want to start a bobsleigh team and say, Ben, you seem like someone who can do a bit of running, probably do a bit of pushing. You're up for a bit of crack. You join our bobsleigh team. This is where the question part comes in. Who is going to be our fourth bobslayer? So we've got myself, we've got Colin, we've got yourself. Who's going to be the fourth bobsleigh person that we get? Now, it can be anyone, absolutely anyone. You don't need to know them. It can be an actor, it can be a singer, it can be a runner, anyone you want. Just who is going to get in the bobsleigh with us? Who's going to bring a bit of crack, a bit of banter, maybe some expertise? Who is going to get us to Italy 2026 in the Winter Olympics? Ben, it's over to you.
So Ben, I always apologize for Andrew and his questions. I have no idea where this question came from, and I'm sorry that you have to answer something like this. Do you know much about bobsleigh, and have you seen Cool Runnings?
Yeah, and surely the most important question is, who's looking after the egg and keeping the egg in their leggings?
Right, okay. I would say Andrew, three kids, very safe hands. I also have three kids. He's probably got safer hands than me. I would think Andrew would be the egg man. But who would be the fourth person in the bobsleigh, Ben?
I mean, first name that comes to mind is, if we could get Ross Edgley on board, the man's a tank. If we could get him on board.
Ross Edgley?
Oh, Ross Edgley. So he was the first person to swim all the way around the British Isles. But he's like quite short. I think he'd describe himself as quite short, but built like a tank. And really, I mean, we'd need somebody like that to give us a hand, wouldn't we? We could let him do all the hard work.
So what you're saying is, you, me and Andrew are just there to make up the numbers, and Ross walks in and basically takes up bobsleigh himself. You know, yeah. We could probably narrow this down to a one-man bobsleigh team and just let Ross do it, and we'll hold the flags.
One-man bobsleigh team and three idiot tag-alongs.
Sold. So Andrew loves... See, you've done something that Andrew loves. He hasn't heard this yet, but he's going to be sitting at home. When he listens to this, he's going to laugh, because he loves a third option. You have given him a third option of a one-man bobsleigh and us, the idiots with flags, cheering him on in the Olympics. Didn't even know they were in Italy either. So I apologize. You were chatting about food. What's your food for this ultra looking like? What's your thoughts on food? I've been told by Nick that no matter how much you prep your food for 100 miles, your body is going to want what your body's going to want.
Yeah. I think certainly you can practice that, though. And on the weekend long runs and stuff, you kind of know what your body ends up wanting. But I'm actually on a bit of a learning journey at the minute with food, because previously I've had like salt tablets in my water and then a handful of gels and then like relied on the aid stations. And I went for a run recently with somebody who has records at like GB Ultras and stuff like that, Sean, and he said, I'm going to fuel you how I would fuel myself for these events and see how you feel. And I've never felt so good. And we had 90 grams of carbs per bottle on our like race vests and a handful of gels. And he was like, I want to see one of those bottles gone every hour. Every hour you're getting through a 90 gram of carbs in your liquid and your salts bottle. And then popping gels around that. We still stopped for pasties. And I've honestly never felt so good during the run. And the next day, the recovery was night and day different to what I'm used to. And he was like, yeah, you're just not eating enough. I was like, oh, yeah, because I'd never have thought of eating that much.
So two things I take from that is that I currently... Sorry if people couldn't see that, but balloons were on my screen. You seen balloons, Ben, didn't you?
That's more than balloons.
I'm not hallucinating. So every time, so we're currently recording on StreamYard, and every time I do something, something on my screen happens, and I can't get it happening again. And just there, balloons came in front of my face. Anyway, back to the podcast. So the two things that I wanna take from that is I fuel myself on 60 carbs every hour, okay? And I take a thing called Tailwind, and I'm eating while I'm getting Tailwind. It's a drink which is full of salts, electrolytes, or is electrolytes salts? Are they the same thing? Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Yeah, so salts, electrolytes, and it also has carbs in it. So it's about 20, 30 grams of carbs or something per drink, and that's getting liquid on board as well, plus 500 milliliters of liquid. So you're saying that I probably should up my carbs?
Well, so Sean, so I'm a big lad. I'm 102 kilos currently. Yeah. So he was like, I take 90 grams an hour. He was like, and you're getting on for 15, 20 kilos heavier than me. He was like, so you need more. You're moving more weight. So he gets through a 90 gram. He uses Voom, which is 90 grams in a sachet. And he gets through one of those bottles on the hour, every hour, he was telling me. And he said, for you, you need to then be popping sweets, gels around that, trying to bump those numbers up because you're just, I'm just too big is what the way he said it.
It's a wee bit. Doesn't sound like much of a friend, you know? The second thing is you stopped for pasties. Explain that.
Oh, yeah.
Where do you just stop for pasties? Is there like pasty shops every like 5 mile or every hour there's a pasty shop? How does that work?
Well, so, I mean, I had a Ginster's pasty in my backpack to get us by, but we took a wrong turn and went up Trifan instead of round it in Snowdonia. But at the bottom of there, there's a lovely calf that sells pasties and like pies and bits of cake and stuff. So we genuinely came down Trifan and just stopped and had a pasty and a pie and refilled our bottles, poured some more stuff in, and wow, it was great.
That sounds like an amazing run. Sounds like a run that would be right up our street, because the thing about running is you can eat loads of food, and like there's no excuse for what food you eat. And our plan, and believe it or not, this is probably going to happen. We're allowed outside help in our 100 miler, okay? When I say outside help, you can't jump in a car and drive half the way. But when I say outside help, Andrew has his heart set on ordering a McDonald's to somewhere on our trail. I honestly think he's going to do it, and it's going to happen. And it sounds like a great idea. Like 80 miles, you're starving, you're hungry. Like usually when you're sitting in the house, and as I've mentioned before, I'm on a plant-based diet, and McDonald's do a plant-based burger. So there is an option there for me. But when you're sitting in the house and you're hungry and there's a burger advert on TV, sometimes there's nothing better than getting a burger. But when you're in the middle of a run and you're tired and you're hungry, how will that McDonald's taste? It's just going to be something special.
It's going to be black or white, isn't it? It's like Marmite. You're either going to be, this McDonald's is the best thing that's ever happened to me, or it's going to be awful.
It could be
not going to be a middle ground.
Both. Could be, it's amazing. And then a mile down the road, you're going, what was I thinking eating a McDonald's? But it's full of salts, it's full of fats, it's full of all the stuff that I suppose might get you through.
I swear by McDonald's breakfast as pre-run fuel. I tried a healthy approach once, and I went through a few like local events and like training runs with like porridge and some fruit. And I was like, no, I'm an athlete now. I'm going to eat healthy. And they're the worst runs I've ever had. But double sausage and egg McMuffin, that sorts me right out.
Do you know what? Andrew might start this run with that. You've actually just now, he will listen to this and he'll be like, Colin, we're going to get McDonald's. I'm going to be at the start line with a McDonald's bag, 50 miles into it, going to get another McDonald's. Like, I swear, like, you're speaking his language. And he is going to be over the moon. The other point I picked up was you mentioned Snowdonia. Are you close to that?
Yeah, about a 45-minute drive.
Wow, that's incredible. I would go running in the Mourne Mountains over here in Northern Ireland, and it's amazing. Snowdonia, I was looking up, and they do a UTMB race, don't they? Where you can actually gain UTMB stones and get your access into the actual UTMB. So would you ever consider running that one?
Future. Yeah, it's a future goal for sure. I'm doing GB Ultra's Snowdon Ultra in September. It's a 50 miler that includes going over the top of Snowdon, because that's after the 100. Oh, my mind's on the 100 at the minute.
Oh, your mind's at 100. See, my mind. You can tell that there's something wrong with me. My mind's already going here and flashing up, and balloons are coming up on my screen. That just kind of says everything, you know. That's an absolutely incredible journey that you've been on yourself, and I'm glad I've reached out and actually got a chat to you. Is there anything else you want to tell us about yourself that we might not know that's interesting, funny, or different?
I don't think I do anything like there's a normal approach to these things, like just out running whilst also lifting big weights in the gym. Like, I think it's getting fashionable on social media, but like, it's not the normal approach to it, is it? Like, going to get strong so that I can then run.
No, it's not. I think the way you started off was just doing tough mudders, and then just, for me, it was a natural progression from 2 miles to a half marathon to full marathons to ultra marathons. I'm kind of sitting here going, my way is kind of boring. Your way sounds a bit more fun.
I'm an absolute sucker for somebody messaging me going, fancy this. This looks a laugh. And I'm like, yeah, it does. Yeah, I'll have a go at that. I did fan dance, the SAS selection march over Penny Fan in South Wales. I've done that a couple of times because somebody said, this looks like it could be a good crack. And I'm like, yeah, sod it, let's have a go.
What is that, a dance?
No, it's called the fan dance because it goes over Penny Fan, but it sort of mimics the SAS Special Forces selection march. And you have a 45-pound rucksack on, and you like high top, like army style hiking boots, and then you start at the bottom of Penny Fan, you run over the top down Jacob's Ladder and along a Roman road, and then back again up Jacob's Ladder and back down Penny Fan. And if you can do it in under 4 hours, you're considered fit enough for the SAS.
Do you want me to ask you what time you've done it in?
4 hours and 5 minutes. I was gutted.
You're kidding.
A friend of mine did it.
So I'm potentially talking to someone who's nearly fit enough to be in the SAS. Is that what you're saying to me?
I guess so, nearly. And then later that year did the paratroopers version of it, which is in Catterick, and a 10-mile, 45-pound rucksack. And I did that one in under the cut-off time. I was dead chuffed at that.
So you could pass as a paratrooper even with your knee sort of... You were telling me that your knee bends in all different shapes, so you've... not even a double-jointed knee.
Yeah, physios don't like touching it.
No, your knee's like a zero-jointed knee, goes in any direction, and you can still be a paratrooper, and you're 5 minutes off an SAS. Is there anything you can't do?
Well, yeah, I have a working knee.
Very good, very good. If I was to ask you for three tips, and you were to give me and Andrew three tips for running or strengthening or training, what would the three tips be then?
Just three quick fire tips.
Just three quick fire tips.
Ankle mobility, eat more, and slow down would be my three tips. Eat easy runs.
Everyone seems to be speaking Andrew's language. He's going to take from that, I'm going to do my ankle mobility, which is sitting in the house doing rolling your ankles. He's going to order McDonald's and he's going to watch some TV. So just be careful. Be careful what advice you give Andrew. Ben, that was an absolute pleasure to have you on the show. And, you know, hopefully sometime you'll come on again and chat to us, even after your 100 miler, and we'll find out how you found it, what the challenges and how you completed it. Yeah, would you be happy coming back on?
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely.
If people's looking to reach out or have a chat to you or connect with you, how can they do it?
Instagram's the best way, I'd say. I put everything on there, every workout I do, every run I do. I try and like show my story and my evolution as a runner. But yeah, it's ultra_bungle on there.
Sorry, I'm throwing all these questions now. Why bungle? Explain bungle.
So bungles, do you know the TV show Rainbow from way back in the day?
I do.
And there's
know.
That big, the big cuddly bear bungle. Yep. So My dad's always called me Bungle because to bungle is to make a mess of something, like drop something, trip over. And that was me as a kid. Like, I was Bungle. And then when I started, like, my career in work, sort of 18, 19, with the beard and everything else, they were like, oh, you just look Bungle, a big bear. And I was like, funny you should say that. That's the name my dad's called me forever as well.
And it just stuck.
It just stuck. Like, from two different angles, I got called Bungle for different reasons. And I was like, I just am Bungle now.
Do you know what? See, when I seen Bungle on your name, I thought, that reminds me of that bear in that TV show. And that's exactly where I was bang on. That's where it came from.
Exactly right.
It is not a pretty nickname to have. It's nothing. It's not Rockstar, should I say. It's not really Rockstar at all. But anyway,
no.
Thank you, Bungle, so much for coming on our show. We would love to have you on again. Have you enjoyed it?
Oh, it's been brilliant, yeah.
Cool. I'll chat to you soon. Take it easy.